We will have 3 10-minute breaks during our conference call today, and we will end on time or before at 4 p.m. Are there any questions or clarifications?
There are no questions. Hi, this is Penny. I've been waiting a long time, but they just put me through, so thank you.
Great. Thanks, Penny. I'm going to go ahead and do a roll call just to see who's with us today. And if you could just answer here, please, once you call your name. Kim Baptista. Hey, Dina Bishop. John Klaus. Reneva Moss. Sue Hull. Mandy Malott.
I'm here in Juno.
Thank you, Mandy. Welcome. Amy Jo.
I'm here in Juno.
Marsha Olson. Andy Rogers. Ivy Spunholz.
Here.
Hi, Ivy. Good to hear your voice.
Hi.
Mary Siminski.
I'm here. However, I did have some tricky times connecting, so that might be why some others are not online yet.
All right. Thank you, Mary. I appreciate that information. Barbara Thompson, here. Penny, you're still on? Penny Vadla?
Yes, I am. And I had a lot of trouble getting on as well.
All right. Thank you. And Jerry Covey, are you on?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay. Let me run back through and see. Kim Bautista, did you get connected yet? And Dina Bishop, did you get connected? John Klaus? Reneva? How about Sue Hull? All right, well, we'll just go ahead and continue. I just got a text message from Sue. And says the Anchorage number is working. The out-of-state phone number.
Yeah, Deb was having a hard time.
Let's see. I'm not able to call in on the outside Anchorage and Juneau phone number, Sue.
Mm. Nancy, that's my message. This is Sue. I was able to call in on the Anchorage number. That worked.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, Sue. I'm glad to know that.
Thank you.
Anybody else get to get in that I didn't get to talk to yet?
Hey, Nancy, this is Deb Riddle. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hi, Deb.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Thank you. All right. Anybody else that I didn't get to talk to yet? All right. We'll go ahead and go on with our agenda. The first thing that I'd like to give you a heads up about is just our goal for today. We have two main goals. One is to learn about our deliverables for the October 4th meeting, which will be held in Anchorage. And our second goal for today is to finalize our three goal recommendation statements, as well as the rationale language for each of our three goals or recommendations. So that's what our deliverables will be for today. So with that, the first thing that I would like to go over with you is the advanced organizer for our October 4th meeting. And several of you have let me know that you will or will not be able to attend. Ivy, I didn't get a note from you. Are you going to be able to attend the October 4th meeting in Anchorage?
I am sorry, I'm not. I am actually on an airplane that day.
All right. Well, thank you. And we will miss you. Safe travels to you.
I will miss being there greatly.
And let's see, I think I've got everybody else as either a yes or a no. So if your plans change between now and next week, the October 4th meeting, if you could send me a note, please, and just let me know, that would be greatly appreciated. I did attach the October 4th agenda that came from Aaron Harden at the department. It's also on our smart sheet. If you'd like another copy and can't locate it, please let me know and I'll be happy to send you one. The meeting will be held at the Denina Center, which is where we met in April. It's on the second floor, and we begin with coffee at 9:30, and then the actual meeting will start at 10 a.m. We will conclude the meeting by 5 o'clock p.m. We do have a one-hour work session scheduled, so each of our committees will be meeting in a small room. So our Student Learning Committee will be meeting from 11:15 until 12:15. And during that hour, we will be running through our presentation. We'll have time to prep for any question and answer. But we have a note from Aaron and Jerry that we are not to use that time to finalize any of our recommendations. So we must finish all of our recommendation stuff before then. Then at beginning at 1:15, each of the five committees will have about 15 to 20 minutes to present their recommendations to the whole group and to the state board. Then that will be followed, that presentation will be followed by about 10 minutes for audience question and answer. We are very privileged to have Mary Siminski and Mandy Malott, who will be our spokespersons and represent our committee's recommendations to the group. So thank you very much, Mary, and thank you very much, Mandy, for being willing to represent us. We're very, very pleased. Each of the committees will present using a standardized PowerPoint slide deck, which basically has one slide for a goal, followed by one slide for the rationale, followed by a slide for a goal, rationale slide, etc. So we don't have to worry about being pretty or fancy. They've already taken care of us. And following this meeting today, I will be putting all the our finalized recommendations, rationales onto that PowerPoint, and it'll be ready to go. I have to get that to Aaron by October the 2nd. So that concludes the letting you know about the advanced organizer for the October 4th meeting. I'd like to pause for any questions, clarifications, or comments. Please speak up if you have a question or a comment. All right, hearing none, we'll move on to the next section of our agenda for today. The next section of our agenda will be examining the final goal language for each of our three goals. As you recall, our strategic objective is to amplify student learning and come up with transformational goals that address that. Our goal language is supposed to focus on the what, not the why or the how. And on page one of the working document for September 26, you will see the last draft of each of the three goals. I'd like to do a go around. I'll call on you, and when I call on you, if you could please comment about anything that you think needs another look, or if you have recommendations for rewording. We have Courtney here from the department. Thank you, Courtney, for being with us today. She'll be helping us by making notes about our comments and so forth. So with that, Barbara, would you please begin our comment section about the final goal language?
This is Barbara Thompson. I have no recommendations or changes at this point. I do still think, I know there we've pared them down as maybe as much as we can. They still seem a little wordy to me at times, but I think they're good, and I think they make sense to us, and I have nothing to add. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Barbara. Kim Baptista, are you online yet? Okay, how about Dina Bishop?
Hi there. For goal number one, I think it's good. I like how we took off the rationale, and it's just this is what we want. So thank you.
All right. And Dina, do you have any comments or thoughts about goal two or goal three?
I do, just in regard to goal three, just because of the there's a million commas, and when you start to read it, it doesn't flow very well. After you see it, it's actually, you know, you can understand why they're all there, but it just is kind of choppy a lot.
Okay.
So I'm working on that, thinking about it, but I don't have a suggestion yet. But if we want to consider, there's just so many comma use in there.
All right. Thank you very much. If you come up with an alternative, please email it to me. I'd really appreciate that. Thank you. That's good feedback. Anything else, Dina?
Sorry, it's hard to get on and off the mute. Nope, thank you very much. Thanks.
All right, thank you, Dina. How about John Klaus in Dillingham? John, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I think the language is pretty good. It's a difficult thing to boil everything that we discussed and wanted to have the goal area down into three lines, and so I think it's pretty good. And specifically, the first part is the meat, you know, early student learning, student-centered learning, equity access, and knowledge and skills and those types of things. So I think it's good.
All right. Thank you very much, John. Appreciate it. Let's see. Sue Hall, do you have any comments?
Thanks, Nancy. When I look at the wording, I kind of think that it's, a little cumbersome. I wish that they were shorter, but I feel good about what's there, and I don't think it's necessary to rehash it now. But because I think that the intent is understandable, and that we've included the thoughts of the committee members, so maybe that task will come in the next round, as they're considered by the state board or whatever. But I think we've got the essence of what the committee wanted to put forward, so I feel good about that. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much, Sue. I appreciate it. How about Mandy?
I appreciate all the work that the sub-team did to really pull these together, because it is it's an important piece here for us to start with this. And I felt the same way as John, that I like how the initial phrase within each goal, just those few handful of words, really speak to the intention of the goal.
All right. But, thank you, Mandy. Anything else?
Number three, I understand why it was differentiated for the earliest years of child's development and then through the K-12. But I just wonder, too, if we can use some of the same language that we used in the other goals around preschool through post-secondary. I know that there seems like we were trying to be deliberate about that, but that might be a way to clean that up. So I'm working on that.
All right. Thank you. That's a great idea, Mandy. Appreciate it. Amy Jo.
This is Amy Jo, and... I support the way the goals are written, except three. I'm just trying to figure out if there's a way to move the clauses around even, or even just to bring it back to make learning student-centered, ensuring that instruction and curricula for all children are relevant, experiential, culturally responsive, and interest-based.
Could you read that one more time, please?
So what I just did was eliminate from the earliest years all the way through post-secondary in education. Make learning student-centered, ensuring that instruction and curricula for all students are relevant, experiential, culturally responsive, and interest-based.
Okay, thank you very much. Marcia Olson, are you on yet?
Yeah, I am. Thanks, Nancy. And I apologize for being late, and I also apologize because I won't be able to stay on more than just a few minutes. I appreciate all the work that everybody's done in between our meetings. And I appreciate that people have volunteered to be our spokespeople on October 4th. I agree. I like the three goals. I like how the first part of the phrase kind of gives the key words. And yeah, I agree we could kind of make that third goal a little simpler. I think what Amy Jo just suggested would work fine.
All right, thank you very much, Marcia. We appreciate in your busy schedule that you were able to carve out some time for us. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Ivy, do you have comments or thoughts?
Particularly on goal three, I love the work that's been done with me so far. And one of the things that I know is I shared the same concern about goal three, Dina's concerns about goal three. It starts to lose its meaning. And I like Amy Jo's suggestion of taking out that one section. We could, since we have in goal one and goal two, sort of been very clear that we mean from preschool through post-secondary, we could stick that on the end, and I think the sentence would be simplified and still be consistent that we're being very clear that we mean the full continuum, not just K-12. I think that's an important piece there, but that might be a compromise to simplify that sentence.
Thank you very much. I think that's great feedback. How about Mary Szymanski? Do you have thoughts about this, Mary?
Nothing that hasn't been said already. I agree. I think some of them are a little bit leggy, and I really appreciate everything that the subcommittee did to get it to this point.
All right. Thank you, Mary. And Penny Vada?
Yes, this is Penny, and I like them. I like how they're worded. In goal number one, I wondered if it would be important to put identify and articulate the knowledge base, comma, skills, comma, and behavioral attributes, putting the word in base after knowledge and before skill. And then number three, I agree. I think that the correction that Mandy wrote down about the intention of it and moving it around was important. And in goal number two, I wondered if after the post-secondary, where we have a variety of culturally appropriate methods, I wonder if we should put in there using multiple measures and a variety of culturally appropriate methods, because we want the measures, multiple measures, and the methods. I know that they'll be developed later, and that'll be the how, but I thought that might clarify that a little bit. But I agree. I think they're well written. They're simple, and I had a hard time with the school through post-secondary, but I understand that the intent is we want that to be in each one of these because it's so important.
All right. Thank you very much, Penny. I appreciate the time that your thoughtful reflection about this and studying it. Jerry, Covey, do you have anything?
No, but thank you for asking. I think it's good work.
All right. Thank you. Kim Bautista, anything from Kim? Okay, and Amy Jo?
Yeah, if I could back up to goal two, I appreciate what Penny said, and I wondered, too, about the phrase in there about greatly expanded. I'm not so sure that one system to the next system is going to be greatly expanded, and I think it also reads fine without it. So if it were to say, ensure equity of access to high-quality learning experiences for all students, preschool through post-secondary, using a variety of culturally appropriate methods and measures to identify successes, mitigate underperformance, and accelerate student achievement? Maybe?
Anybody have thoughts about what Amy Jo said?
Yes, I have one thought. I agree with Amy Jo. I like that better. The only thing is if we move the multiple measures after culturally appropriate, you're saying that you, and I know they should be culturally appropriate, but there should be a variety of multiple measures that are cultural, but that might be other types of messages. So it changes the intent. But I love how she moved the rest of that around. I agree.
This is Sue. I also had some grief with greatly. So I think if we could leave that out, that would be better.
All right, great. Sounds good. Any other thoughts about these? All right, then. Good work, guys. It's pretty amazing that when you think about the journey that we've been on from April 20th until now and the complexity of this task and the diversity of our group, I'm feeling very, very pleased with the product that we have with these three goals. But following this meeting, I will be emailing the kind of the final draft to each of you so that you can see it. I know it's difficult to process all this auditorially without being able to see it. So I will send that to you, and you will have one more opportunity to reply and say, I slept on this and it's not good. Now, we won't have a ton of time to get that turned around because I do have to get it into the slides, the PowerPoint, and get it to Aaron Harden at the department. But you will be able to look at it once more. Great. So the next part of our agenda now will be to take a look at the rationale for each of these three goals. And we're going to do this in chunks. So we'll do the rationale for goal one, and then we'll just deal with that. And then we'll have another break, do goal two rationale, and then have another break, and then do goal three rationale. And that way we can split it up. Now, one thing I know for sure is that each of the rationales that we have, they're too long, and they're too wordy. So one of the things that it would be, I think, good for us to try to do is to sift through each, because each is about a page long, and I don't know that we'll be able to get these down to a paragraph. That might be unreasonable, but I do think that we can try to eliminate some of this. So what I was thinking was that during our 10-minute reflection time, if you take a, we're going to start with goal one. If you could just look at, that's on page two of the working document. And if you could go through and select or highlight three key ideas or three important points that you feel really explain why, and really kind of maybe even write yourself a note with big W-H-Y, why. The rationale explains why goal one is important. Why? So if you could find three key ideas during our break, and then we'll come back and we'll go around to each of you, and if you could share, please, any thoughts you have about parts that might be removed, and also would you share, please, the three main ideas that you feel are important to be communicated that explain why the goal is important. Does anyone have questions about the task? All right, so my computer clock says 1:25, so we will break until 1:35, and we'll be back on at 1:35. If you could please mute your systems, and we'll talk to you in 10 minutes. Thank you. All right. Hello, Student Learning Committee. We're back together, and we're going to be discussing which parts of the rationale we might be able to adjust the wording, delete, and then what are the three big ideas that we don't want to lose track of in our rationale. And Barbara Thompson, Amy Jo Miners, and Nancy are here in Juneau. We kind of were talking. And one of the things that I'd like to start this with is with some clarification, if you can give it to us, please, Jerry, about is there a length limit? If we have a page, is that okay? Can you give us some direction or guidelines or shouldn't have or must have or whatever? So, Jerry, would you speak, please?
Thank you, Nancy. Yes, I'd be happy to. There is no specific limit. The shorter and tighter you can write this, the more readable and understandable it becomes for the audience. Obviously, this goes to the state board, and beyond there, there will be other stakeholder groups and many interested Alaskans in this work. So we tend to believe that the shorter and stronger we can write these rationale statements, the more readable, the more appealing they become for the audience. So the guidance is, you know, try to keep it short. Two good solid paragraphs is probably fine. I guess we just have to ask ourselves how many people are going to read a full page, and can we condense our ideas less space and still get across the message that we're trying to convey. Does that help?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much. And then before I begin, I also wanted to share with you that Barbara said, oh, I see, we can just cross off the last two paragraphs. And Amy Jo said, gosh, I kept everything except I kept the last two paragraphs and crossed everything else off. So if my two members who are here sitting in the room with me have completely opposite opinions, and we are all smiling because we think that's kind of funny. So with that, Barbara, would you begin and talk about what you think, how we might do what Jerry's asking and condense us a bit, make it clear, knowing that shorter is less is best, but we don't want to lose anything that's important. And then also, would you highlight three big ideas? Go ahead.
Oh, boy. I look at paragraph one and the last two paragraphs as being more connected and think maybe those could be merged together or kind of condensed in some form, and I haven't come up with language for that. But I had wanted to keep the listing of all the knowledge, skills, and attitudes that we're talking about, even though Amy Jo pointed out to me that those are what. But to me, they were important for people to understand that we were looking at something different than just reading, writing, math, or math and English and language arts, that we're looking at more personal things that can go with a person through their entire life. So I guess for me, three important things would be that the student success outcomes be really clearly defined and that they include a variety of things that we've been discussing for the last few months. And the point about reflecting those outcomes, reflecting on personal interests of students, not only what they need to know, but what they want to know themselves. And that's all I have. I've only got two right now. Sorry.
All right, thank you. And next we'll go to Amy Jo, who's also in the room here.
So this is Amy Jo, and I guess when I looked at the bullet list, I looked at that as kind of being more fine-tuned details of the what, And going from the initial thoughts from Jerry Covey that were to focus on a why, to me, kind of the key points that I think we've had discussions over repeatedly have been in the last two paragraphs, the part that begins, graduates of Alaska schools should be prepared to build Alaska's modern economy regardless of where they live, their personal interests and passions, or cultural traditions. And then these students' success outcomes will be relevant and motivating no matter what path they choose to follow in life. And then the last sentence in the last paragraph, their successes will depend not only content knowledge, but equally on all the knowledge, skills, and behavioral attributes defined by, et cetera, down to the last sentence. To me, those were the big why this is so different and why we have the need for this difference. And the other above, I think, is what I agree with Barbara, that that first paragraph does seem to fold into the last two. But if we were looking to eliminate, those were the three that I pulled.
All right, thank you very much. Dina, do you have thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I was really along folks the same part, but I think I like the shorter bulleted things. I would eliminate the bottom three. I mean, when people say 21st century requires, we know that it's about what you can do, not with what you know, that it's so success in life is broader than just success in school. So I think the bulleted says it more clearly for the rationale in that first sentence. The first paragraph kind of explains that we keep going on and on. So mine was just real simple to just remove some things, just remove a lot of words that we didn't need to say.
Okay, and so just to clarify, so what you're saying is keep the bulleted sections and remove the last three paragraphs?
Yeah, and the bulleted section could be, I mean, we could shorten those if we wanted to, you know, but I think the last three continue to go on and on, which really the first one kind of lays it out. So, I mean, I wasn't set on this bullet or that, but what I just, when I looked at it to make it more succinct, the last three paragraphs really restate what the first one said.
All right.
In more detail.
All right, thank you. John Klaus, what are your thoughts?
For goal one, I thought the pieces that were most powerful spoke to me most with the bulleted, like the things that we don't often test or not easy to track. For two, towards the bottom there, I think school districts must have flexibility, ensure equity of access, and aligned accountability systems while responding to local and community and school needs is pretty important.
Say that again, please, that last section.
It's in the second to last paragraph, basically that first sentence. Flexibility to ensure equity of access, et cetera, et cetera.
You're not on the same page.
So, John, on goal two, could I ask you to, if it's okay, to hang on to your thoughts about goal two, and we could just work on goal one first. Is that all right?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay. Perfect. Let's see. Sue Hull, what are your thoughts?
As I look at it, I think there are three key points, and the first one is that we have to have clear targets if we expect kids to be prepared for the future. The second one is that the targets include more than just content knowledge. It's also that bulleted list of skills. And then the third one is that if with a reason why we need our recommendation, that if we're able to be clear about the targets, students will be better prepared to contribute economically. So I kind of think those are the three elements of the why. Clear targets are necessary to be successful. The targets include more than just content knowledge. And then three, if we have the right targets, then kids will be prepared to contribute to Alaska's economy. That's how I do it.
Perfect. Okay, thank you. Mandy, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I like that too. Okay. Oh, I first of all appreciate this process, Nancy. I think this is
really smart way to go about this for all of us together, so thank you for that. The first thing that struck out to me was the notion in the first paragraph, knowing, you know, this. I'm not tied to this notion of success in the 21st century, but this notion that our students know how to learn. I liked knowing how to learn. And then I also like those bullets and that success requires going beyond educational basics. And my third piece was in the second to the last paragraph, these students' success outcomes will be relevant and motivating no matter what path they choose to follow in life. Really relevant to kids. So those were my three.
Perfect. Thank you. I'm still typing. Okay. And let's see. Marcia, are you in? Marcia, still online? Okay. How about Ivy? What are your thoughts?
I'm just going to throw a wrench in this a little bit. I like the bullets, but I think that that's really the what. It's not the why. And so I picked out sort of three sentences that with a little wordsmithing I think could summarize this. They are the first sentence in the first paragraph, student success outcomes. They're the first sentence in the second to last paragraph, graduates of Alaska schools should be prepared to build Alaska's modern economy. And then the very last paragraph, their successes will depend on not only content knowledge, but equally on blah, blah. Just to throw a wrench in it there for you.
No, you didn't. That's actually exactly what Amy Jo said. So just to clarify, say we've got graduates in Alaska schools for the first sentence of the first paragraph. So that would be student success outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And then graduates in Alaska schools, .. And then the last sentence would be?
Their successes will depend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, great. Thank you, Ivy. That's helpful. And let's see, Mary, how about you? Your thoughts?
Well, I'm kind of along the same line as Ivy. I'll just start from the top. I like the first sentence of the first paragraph. I don't think we need to say anything about success in the 21st century. I just think that's extra words. So when learning targets are clearly defined and students understand what they must know and be able to do, I think if you're going to keep that sentence, achieving the target becomes easier, sounds a little bit friendlier in dialogue than they are more easily able to achieve targets. I think the second paragraph says a lot of the same things, like all stakeholders need to know. I think that first sentence isn't really necessary. I like the bulleted points, and I completely agree that they're maybe they don't belong here. And if they are kept here, I'm not so sure. They were all fine, but demonstrate leadership skills. I guess I don't necessarily agree with keeping that in there because I don't think that all people need to be able to demonstrate leadership skills. In my opinion, I think there's some people that just prefer not to be in that role. And I think the next sentence, if you're going to keep that one with the home community, I think it should be at work and in the world because you're going from small to big. And that first sentence of paragraph four, I guess, I really like that sentence. I think you could lose the second one. And that last sentence is just, I get lost in it. I quit reading it because it's just too much. If we could break it down into two sentences, but I think it should start out with student success, not their success, and it shouldn't be anywhere near that long. Sorry, that's all. Bye.
Okay. Now, just to clarify that, okay, I got that last paragraph. student success, gotcha. And then break that sentence into half. Okay, got that. And I tracked all the rest of what you had to say, Mary. That was good. Thank you very much. And let's see, Penny, how about your thoughts?
Yes, well, I literally picked out words. So I picked out student-centered, learning targets, engaging students, and curricula that are meaningful and relevant. I agree with Mary about the, several people about the bullets. I don't know if this is the place for them. I like the last paragraph too. I think Mary and somebody else said that about student success. I wrote something to tie in some of that with the idea about measures. When learning targets, or you could call them measures, are clearly defined and students understand what they must know and be able to do, students are more easily able to achieve those targets. When students believe their experiences, opinion, and opinions are respected, their motivation, buy-in, and involvement increase. And when students take an active part in driving and focusing their education, student success is more attainable. Because I love the bubbles. I think they're important, but I don't think they should be in. And I just felt that if we are talking about success and we're talking about making content knowledge important and what our graduates should be able to do, those four things were really important to me, the student-centered, the targets, the engaging students, and the curricula.
Okay, so Penny, just for, could you repeat the, when you started trying just those four things? So the first one was student success. The second one was student-centered,
because all of these will lead to student success. Student-centered.
Okay.
Having clear learning targets, engaging students, and providing curricula that are meaningful and relevant. And then I sort of just took those and wrote a new paragraph, so.
Okay, can you email me, Penny, can you dump the new paragraph into an email to me, please?
I will.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. All right, let's see. Kim Bautista, are you on? Okay, Marcia? All right, anybody else have any thoughts now that we've been all the way around? Any thoughts or comments about the rationale for goal number one? Okay, Barbara?
This is Barbara. I have just one suggestion because I was one who liked the bullets. And in looking at paragraph two at the beginning, looking at that second sentence that starts with success requires, I was hoping perhaps we would consider leaving that success requires going beyond educational basics, and the outcomes could include or would include, and then to maybe not bullet them out, but include a few of those bullets just to give a short example of what they are.
So what I think I hear you saying is it would say something like, could include but not be limited to such things as, and then list two or three or four of them.
Not bullet them out necessarily,
right.
But just in, and it would shorten up the page, but it would just give a few examples of the other things other than content.
Right, and I think one of the things probably that most people on our committee would agree with would be to not lose the civic literacy citizenship idea. That was seems like that's been pretty important through all of our conversations from April 20th on.
I agree. That's important to me.
Anybody else have thoughts about what Barbara just said? Okay. Anyone else have any other? Go ahead.
Nancy, this is Mandy in Juno. And I feel like what Barbara just shared is really similar to that last sentence. So there's definitely, it sounds like, a lot of agreement that once we get the wording right there, that those notions are important to our final message here.
Okay. Thank you, Mandy. Any other thoughts about goal number one rationale? Okay, so what we're going to do now is take another 10-minute break. And during our 10-minute break, what I'd like you please to do is now look at the rationale for goal number two. And as you look at the rationale for goal number two, think about three big ideas that tell why our goal is important. Why is our goal important? What are the three big ideas? And then just as you did with goal one, are there chunks of the page of rationale draft that can be eliminated, reduced, et cetera? But what are the three big ideas? And I'll ask each of you to share the three big ideas that you have about the rationale for goal two. My computer clock says 1:56, so let's come back together at 2:06. Thank you. All right. Hello. Welcome back. It's 2:06, and we're going to begin working on what is our rationale language for goal number two. And as you report out, if you can give us your thinking about what could be eliminated, but also remember that what are the three big ideas that you don't want us to lose track of from the particular section. So, Barbara, would you begin, please?
Okay, it's Barbara again. The three ideas that I want to keep, and then I'll tell you what I kept in language. The first idea is equity and access, and I see them going together. The second idea is multiple measures and culturally appropriate methods. And three is district flexibility. And to that end, paragraph one, I took out the first sentence and led off with the second sentence.
So would you read that chunk there, please?
The chunk I removed?
Yeah.
Okay, I removed the highest performing education systems in the world are those that combine equity and quality. They give all children opportunities for a good quality education. I took that out, and I just started with all of Alaska students, blah, blah, blah. And a little bit further down in the paragraph, that paragraph one, this equity of access and opportunity does not currently exist. I kept that. And then I took out the next part of the sentence, starting with the quality and types and ending at the period. And I left the last sentence in the first one.
Which is?
When all of Alaska's children have equal access to high quality learning experience, student achievement will be accelerated and utter performance will be greatly reduced. I then went on a slash and burn, so bear with me. I removed paragraph two. I removed paragraph three, including the two bullets. The little paragraph below that, starting with additionally, I took out additionally, no single measure should be used to determine a student's success, and started that with multiple measures of success will allow for more accurate blah, blah, blah. I kept the next paragraph that starts with because no two school districts in our state are alike. And I kept the last paragraph. All of Alaska students deserve access.
Okay. Thank you very much, Barbara. That got rid of a bunch. If we sort of agree with that, that would get rid of a big chunk of this page. Let's see. Dina, would you go next, please?
I'm good with the, I agree with the taking out of that first area, but there's, I mean, it's just too cumbersome and long of a rationale to begin with. So I made some things, but I was doing it on paper rather than electronically. So if I have anything, I'll send it.
Okay. What are some three big ideas that you want to make sure we don't lose track of?
Obviously the high-quality learning experiences that is something that, as in our state, that we should ensure that occurs. And again, you know, saying that achievement will be accelerated under performance, I remember before, you know, we said it would be eliminated, it would be greatly reduced. We're giving an outcome that, you know, I think we invest in high-quality learning experiences, but there's also high-quality instruction. There's, the curriculum. I mean, there's just all kinds of stuff. So that's kind of packed in there. I just, when we talk about, I like using a variety of culturally appropriate methods to identify success. And then we go right into an accountability system. So I'm just, I don't want people to feel that multi methods means more assessment.
Yeah.
Right. So the idea of variety instead of multiple. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, and the, you know, the real kicker for me is the idea that, you know, and I don't know if we start with the cause, but that no two school districts in the state are alike and that they have the flexibility to ensure the equity and accountability while responding to local community and school needs. I think that's paramount because we're having this standard, the standardization, but yet we want customization to happen. And that's where that equity happens, that it doesn't look the same for everyone. So I'm just, it's just so much more simpler than the words have it. In my mind, anyway, this goal.
So, Dina, just to clarify, so we want customization. Can you repeat what you said about that?
Oh, the whole idea for me is the equity and the access to high quality. It is not going to look all the same. That we have to really, if we wanted, like, you know, we're talking about student learning, and when we put it in the same context, sometimes we won't push ourselves. And so I say that the state, and according, you know, I mean, you have the Program for International Student Assessment, you know, there's lots of measures out there that are going to standardize the what, but then that how is customized. I think our schools should look different, not only in different districts, but also in the same district. But I don't know how to say it, Nancy. Let me try to come out with a sentence.
Okay.
But the one that says school districts must have the flexibility to ensure equity of access and align accountability system while responding to local community needs is essential.
Okay.
I think, as we talk about our state. And that's like way down at the bottom.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe move that up higher.
Yeah, it's just real, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Dina.
And I know this is difficult for you. Everybody's giving you different things. You know, it's hard to not see that, so I apologize.
No. Please don't. I don't want any of you to apologize. I think my role is to be a good listener and type faster. No. but so that's why I asked you to clarify. But you know what's interesting to me is after you all comment, even though you may think that you're not necessarily saying the same things, it's pretty interesting because you are saying a lot of the same things. And so after I sift through these comments, and fortunately I have Courtney here who's doing a great job of typing much better than I am, and so it's all good. It's really all very good. So thank you, Gina, for making those comments. John Cloud, how about you on goal number two? I know you had some thoughts about this. So, can you share those with us, please, John?
Yeah. And I don't think what I'm saying is different than what's been said, but the two pieces I had underlined as key were what Dina had just said, the flexibility to access and align accountability, but responding to local and community and school needs, that's a critical piece. And again, the other piece was equity of access to quality programs would be the two key points I had. I also had slashing the third piece, the third paragraph, program international student assessment. I'm okay with taking the second paragraph out as well because I was kind of going back and forth if this is part of why but also part of how. I had thought the last sentence in the first paragraph was better as a closing statement towards the end or maybe combined with that last piece. And I actually like the first sentence of the first paragraph. It kind of sets a bar to you know, those people who are addressing this issue are the ones that are having higher performing, however that may be measured. But I would agree that school districts and flexibility piece needs to be up towards the top.
Okay. Thank you, John. Let's see. How about Sue Hall? are you there? Okay, we'll come back. Mandy?
I'm here, and I, again, appreciate this process because for me, hearing other people's perspectives in this way really just helps grow mine and also validates that I do think that many of us are looking at this the same way, which is very encouraging to me as a parent. So the first key thing for me is the equity with quality. And the last sentence in the first paragraph, I really liked when all of Alaska children have equal access to high quality learning experiences. And it goes on from there. So just that notion of equal access to high quality, I think we can shorten up some of that in making that strong statement. The next part I liked was in the, just after the two bullets in the third section there, when we talked about multiple measures, but then I kept reading, and the second to the last paragraph to me, I think says that we can include that the notion of that, the part that I liked about that multiple measures of success. I agree with Dina. This is a big, big, biggie for me that no school districts in our state are alike, and that they've got to have that flexibility. And then the last part, paragraph, those two sentences I really liked, and I wondered if we could incorporate the notion of flexibility in that statement somehow.
In that last two sentences?
Yeah. So I'm gonna, I'll play around with that, but.
Flexibility or customization?
Well, I think it's flexibility and it's responding to local and community and the school needs, because that's really where we're heading, to engage.
Okay. Thank you, Mandy. Amy Jo?
This is Amy Jo, and I pretty much agree exactly with Barbara's deletions and insertions. Yeah.
Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you. Ivy.
All right. My three big ideas were the equity of access and opportunity to high quality learning experiences, and then three was flexibility. And I think that for me that applies to both measures and, you know, how folks get to do it. I liked a lot of, in terms of the actual wording, I liked a lot of what Barbara had to say, except I really like paragraph two, that I think that, you know, it's really important to as a part of, because we're talking about a why, it's really important for us to also say, you know, that this is a really, you know, fruitful policy. It does profitable here, but, you know, it's a very effective policy, and students also who have enriching, you know, school experiences are more likely to stay in school and be successful. I like all that. So I'd say, generally speaking, I'd stick with what Barbara had to say, but I'm in love with paragraph two, so I don't want to give it up.
Okay. We're smiling. This is good. Love that. Anything else, Ivy?
No, that's it.
All right. Thank you. Mary?
Yeah, I agreed pretty much wholeheartedly with what Barbara had to say. My three that I really liked, the last three paragraphs, I think are definite keepers. And I'd agree that the last sentence of the first paragraph could actually be a good wrap-up at the end.
Would you read that, please, Mary?
The one that starts with, when all Alaska's children have equal access to high-quality learning experiences, I think that's a good wrap up at the end. It could go further down. But yeah, everything Barbara said, I pretty much agree with.
Okay, so that pretty much is echoing what John also said. Okay, thank you very much, Mary. Penny.
Yes, this is Penny. I actually really liked the first sentence. Well, the key ideas are equity, high-quality learning experiences, and that they need to be relevant and reflective. I think that it's important to be flexible in that we respond to local and community needs. So I think everybody stated that. I think Bob expressed that well. I think I might be like Ivy. I think it's the high-performing education systems in the world are those that combine equity and equality. And I really like the first, is I have a star next to it, investing in a high-quality learning experience for all students. Peter 20 is the most profitable. And I don't know, profitable, I had a little bit of a different, I understand what it means, but educational policy, because it really does enrich our kids. I also really liked... school districts must have the flexibility to ensure equity of access and aligned accountability systems while responding to local community and school needs. And so I wrote something up. Data derived from a variety or multiple measures, either one, I see where Dean is coming from there, can potentially encourage differentiation, promote change, enhance success, and empower decisions.
Okay, Penny, stop, please. I'm going to ask you to say that again and do it a little bit slower. So data derived from a variety of measures, and then continue from there, please.
Yes, and I will send this to you. I sent the last one earlier.
All right, thank you.
Derived from a variety of measures or multiple measures can potentially encourage differentiation, promote change, enhance success, and empower decisions, period. District and statewide policy will ensure accountability and assessment procedures are aligned with student outcomes while allowing for local flexibility to respond to the needs of individual student expectations and goals. And I know that sometimes people don't want accountability and assessment, and maybe that should be pulled out and made softer, I don't know, but that data that we get will help us get better. So.
Definitely. Yep. Okay, great. Thank you very much, Penny. And yes, if you can send that to me, that'd be wonderful. Somebody had a comment? Okay, and let's see, Sue Hall? Hey, Dina, did you have a comment?
On this one, or I have some for the third one?
Nope, just anything else on this one?
Nope, thanks.
Okay, I'm going to open it up now to anyone else who would like to comment on goal number two, now that you've heard everyone's thoughts. Anyone at all who would like to comment on goal number two? All right, so hearing none then, we're going to go to the last rationale for goal number three, and we'll take a 10-minute break here so that you have some time to reflect, quiet reflection time. Please be ready to report your three big ideas from the rationale for goal number three. And also any wording changes, deletions, etc. My computer clock says 2:25, so we will come back together at 2:35. Thank you. See you. Talk to you at 2:35. All right. Hello. We're in our last chunk here at 2:35. I'd like to start off with Jerry. Jerry, would you comment any thoughts that you have or about the process so far or anything in terms of direction that you'd like us to take that aim us a little better than what we're doing? Go ahead.
Thank you, Nancy. I'd just like to say I think you're doing a great job of paring things down and getting to the ideas that are most critical. And as I listen, even without seeing what the document changes are, I'm appreciative of the fact that you're realigning your words and eliminating quite a bit of content. And in doing so, I think you're going to have something that's powerful and understandable. I think the process is going as intended, and I appreciate everyone's work and have no further comments. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Terry. We sure appreciate, I just want to tell you that I realized that we are only one of five committees, and you have participated in 100% of our meetings. And I just really appreciate your support and the help that you provided, as well as your guidance. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Barbara, what are your thoughts about the rationale for goal number 3, and what are the 3 big ideas that we don't want to lose track of?
This is Barbara, and the 3 big ideas I focused in on were student-centered, new approaches, and maybe this is a repeat, but flexibility for pathways, learning settings, just flexibility overall, calendars, all that kind of stuff. I have very few changes at this point to recommend. In paragraph 2, though, like in the middle where it says, if schools adapt their pedagogy, almost to the end of that paragraph, it just seems there may be some punctuation that needs to change or can be combined. We have a bunch of little sentences that maybe should be some semicolons or whatever, but it's just a matter of, I would take, if schools adapt, it's kind of like schools need to adapt or when they adapt. It's not if something needs to change. So it's just like wordsmithing a little in there to make it flow better. In the last paragraph, I took out the if excellence for every student is truly the goal. It's almost like questioning whether people are serious or sincere, and I just took that out. So I guess it would focus on schools being nimble. They need to be nimble and multifaceted and student-focused. But so that's all I've got. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Barbara. Dina?
Hi there. So I, in paragraph 1, just took, I'm getting more succinct, one sentence. It starts with engaging, and it's on the third line towards the end. It says, engaging students from the earliest years all the way through their post-secondary planning is essential, period. And then I got rid of paragraph 2, and then I like paragraph 3, but I would take out in the middle, fourth line down, there's a period, and it says, education should occur in a variety of settings. I put period, not just in brick-and-mortar classrooms. That's kind of old thinking, because actually some of the best schools that I know are homeschools, but yet they still have a place where kids meet maybe once a week or twice a week, or it's flexible grouping. But using brick and mortar is old, and it's an old cliche, I think, because it's really what you want to say. It's not about the place. It's really about the learning and engaging and designing their learning. I don't think we need to say not just in brick and mortar classrooms. That's like a poke. So because we still want brick and mortar. We still, I mean, technically, I still want our state to support capital buildings, but maybe the schools look different in the future, but they still might be made of brick and mortar. Well, not here. We don't use brick. So
right. Yeah, so
I left it with that sentence and then took out not just in brick and mortar classes, but left everything else. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Dina. Let's see. John, Klaus, what are your thoughts, John?
I think the main point that I think would be the focus is the flexibility. I agree with Barbara on that. And the whole second paragraph, I could also see considering striking that when we get into saying what will happen, like students will thrive and this will increase and that will decrease. That seems a lot of the how that the school system should adapt and whatnot. So I wouldn't be opposed to taking that out. The last piece, I would suggest shifting that first sentence from educators. It says, if students are to succeed in today's world, educators need to rethink yesterday's teaching. I would say it's more than educators, it's just everybody in general. And so this seems to single out educators rather than the system as a whole. Yeah. That's all I've got.
So just to clarify, John, on that one, can you substitute a word for educators? System as a whole or just the system?
I thought about it. I couldn't quite come up with anything other than my note says shift to system.
Okay. All right, thank you. Let's see. Sue, are you on? Okay. Mandy? Oh, Mandy's driving. She, okay. Amy Jo.
So I slashed quite a bit. So in the first paragraph, I kept the part that Dina said, engaging students from their earliest years all the way through their post-secondary planning is essential, period. In the second paragraph, I kept the last sentence. Alaska schools must have curricula that are meaningful and relevant for each student so that students have opportunities to make connections by relating the subject matter to their own life experience. And in the last paragraph, I felt like it was a poke to say, you know, educators need to toss out yesterday's thinking. I think we should learn from yesterday's thinking. But I think that really what we're looking for is just the ending part where it says schools must be, so Dina's changed, schools must be nimble, multifaceted, and student-focused. And then the last sentence, I was okay with if we need to, I'm okay with getting rid of it, but also the last sentence is, all, I think, okay as well.
Okay, thank you, Amy Jo. Ivy, what are your thoughts?
Sorry, I was my phone went to sleep. I'm liking a lot of what I'm hearing here, but when I was thinking about my big ideas, two of my big ideas for this rationale here included the third sentence in the second paragraph, and that is that school systems should adapt to the student rather than expecting students to adapt to the student, expecting students to adapt to the system. And maybe that's a negative language. I'm learning so much from all of you. This is really pleasurable. But in terms of constructive ways to frame things, but I think that that's one of the really important parts of this. And despite a lot of our really great progress, I still think that we have a lot of opportunity to improve in that. And so that is one of my big ideas. The other one is about access and about access points, and it kind of relates to Dina's comments about not just in brick and mortar classrooms. You know, we don't need to say that, but I think that the best, some of the best, most creative student-centered you know, learning and opportunities do involve making sure that we have lots of access points for education. And I was thinking in this case about some of the collaborations that have been going, been taking place across districts, and that, you know, I'd like our rationale here to help inspire more of that good work, not say that we're not doing it, but to say, you know, but to encourage more of that and think even more creatively about it. So those were my sort of two, I only had two big ideas as it related to this, but mostly I've been comfortable with everybody's paring down, but I do want to protect that one sentence in paragraph two, or at least call out the subject matter, because I don't think it's addressed as a It's not addressed effectively in the rest of the other two paragraphs, I think.
All right, thank you, Ivy. Could you give an example or two of what you mean by access points, please?
Providing, I'm thinking specifically about students in rural Alaska, the opportunity to have access to really high quality teaching in some special areas. We had, you know, a testimony this year from somebody who I think teaches for Copper Center, but does it from Anchorage, and they provide virtual instruction. It's not virtual; it's live, but instruction to students from other districts as well. And so that would be, say, an access point that doesn't have anything to do with a specific school. But you know, if you've got a kid in Anaktuvik Pass who, you know, is a rock star in math, and you want to push that along, that allows a student to do really well, it allows the teacher to realize their full potential as well, and to do it in a way that's not place committed. That's a very long explanation, but
no,
as a non-education professional, I'm sort of struggling to come up with the right words to articulate some of what some of the professionals in the group have been able to do in more succinct ways, but I think that that's just a really important idea.
That's perfect and very clear. So thank you for clarifying that, the idea of not being committed to one place, and the example of what Copper Center is doing in collaboration with the teachers from Anchorage is a very I think helpful and clear example. Thanks very much, Ivy. And Mary, what are your thoughts? Your top three ideas?
In paragraph one, I like the ideas of just including keeping the student centered. I agree with Ivy that I like that sentence about the school system should adapt to the student rather than expecting the student to adapt to the system. And in the last paragraph, the variety of settings, that was the other phrase that kind of stuck out. And for that second sentence in the last paragraph, the one that kind of has a little bit of a maybe a jab starting when it starts with if excellence for every student is truly the goal, you could keep that sentence, but just say when excellence is when excellence for every student is truly the goal, schools become more nimble, multifaceted, and student-focused. That's it.
Okay, thank you very much, Mary. Penny?
Yes, I guess Mary and I are pretty aligned. My key things are, I wrote them down. They were student-centered, adaptation, and excellence. Well, naturally pretty deep there, that one. But I really liked, and I don't know that we should include this because I think it's common knowledge. No, in the second paragraph, no two students are alike. Rather, each student has unique gifts. I really like that, but I don't know if it needs to be in here. But I feel like in paragraph number one, I chose when students believe their experiences and opinions are respected, their motivation, buy-in, and involvement increase. I thought that was important. Everybody says it. I think we should engage them from the earliest years all the way through. But I think we've already said that. So I put down, not if, I put down when schools adapt their pedagogy and curricula to meet the unique strengths and interests of each student, students will thrive. I think that it's a when, because I think the if should not even be in there. And the other thing, I agree with the system, but I think that is made to say that the system has never worked, and I, as a teacher, I don't agree with that. But when Amy said the excellence for every student, if we put because excellence for every student is the goal, students must become more nimble, multifaceted, and student-focused, because I think that will lead to alternative settings and alternative pathways, because I think that's really important as well. So I didn't cut as much as everybody else. This was the shortest one, and I don't know why I cut less out of the shortest one, but that's where I came from on this one.
All right. Thank you very much, Penny. Marcia, are you back on? And Sue, are you back on? Kim? Okay. Is there any other? I think everybody's had an opportunity to share. So I'd like to open it up to anyone in the group now to share your thoughts or any other comments now that you've gotten to hear from everyone in the group. So anyone at all who'd like to speak now?
On just this number three or on everything?
On anything. Probably just on number three, Penny.
Okay, then I'm fine.
Mandy, this is Mandy in Juneau.
Yes, go ahead, Mandy.
Okay, I appreciated being able to listen. I agreed with much of what was said, and my key takeaways were the, or key points were the student-centered, and that went down in the first paragraph. It really went down to the engaging students and designing their learning. So those two for me. And then also adapting new approaches, those sentences around schools becoming nimble and education occurring in a variety of settings. I think that's a pretty powerful statement and expectation. And then I can't remember who was just talking about this. Might have been you, Penny. But the notion of no students are each alike and each have unique gifts, and just for us to be thinking about students as unique learners, I think that that's just something that really struck me in that last bit. So that's my share. Thank you.
Thank you, Mandy. I'm impressed with your nimbleness that you can drive around and do all this at the same time. Good job. All right. Hearing no more on goal number three's rationale, then we'll move on to the last part of our agenda. And let you know what my plan is for these final steps. I'm going to work with Barbara and Amy Jo and Courtney here and clean this up. I will email you by tomorrow, kind of the final, we'll call it a final draft. And understanding, please, that we could still make changes to this. Nothing set in concrete. But I would like your feedback no later than Thursday. So today is Tuesday. So I'll get it in the mail to you by tomorrow. That'll give you Wednesday and Thursday. So if you could please, I'll put a note there. The deadline is by Thursday. I'm sorry. I apologize. I would like your feedback by Saturday, September 30th. And I'll put this in the email to you. So I will get this to you by Thursday. That'll give you 2 days, Friday, Saturday. You send it back to me by Saturday, September 30th, with any other feedback or comments. Some of you are not going to be able to join us in Anchorage on October 4th, and I certainly understand you've got lots of things going on, but I wanted to let you know that if you are not able to join us there, that I will miss you, and I just appreciate so much the hard work and commitment that each of you has provided to this team. I'm sure that we will see one another again, because it's a small state, and at least at the Anchorage Airport, if nowhere else. So with that, then, we'll have time now for closing remarks from each committee member, and I'll start with Barbara. So any closing remarks, Barbara, that you have? This is a good time now.
I echo Nancy's comments. I'm still shocked that this group is so good on these audio conferences, and I'd like to say something about Nancy and her leadership with this group. Jerry, you have worked well with your facilitators, and Nancy is the perfect example. She's kept us all together, and I just appreciate everybody's input. People were not shy about speaking, as often happens, not this time. So thank you. I appreciate everybody's hard work and Nancy's in particular. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Barbara. Dina, any final comments for today?
No, but thank you.
All right, thank you. John?
Just that I've enjoyed the process. I mean, you guys put a lot of work on your end and allowing us to make edits and do that. I appreciate that and help them get the message out.
All right, thank you, John. Mandy?
I just appreciate being part of this and everyone's perspective, helping grow my awareness and understanding and my terminology, Ivy. I laughed to myself when you made that mention about not being trained as an educator, because I hear yes, but so just appreciate your leadership as well, Nancy. Thank you.
All right, and Amy Jo?
No, I'm good. Thanks.
All right, Marcia? And Sue? Ivy?
Hi. Yes, I am not going to be able to join all of you guys at the meeting next week, and I'm really disappointed, but I've really enjoyed the process, and I wanted to just say that I think you did the team of facilitators, Jerry and Nancy in particular, you guys have done a great job of making it easy to participate and also accommodating different styles. I particularly appreciated the 10-minute breaks to do a little bit of thinking to give, you know, people with different styles of learning and processing information. I can tell that I'm with a group of educators, and I've really enjoyed learning from all of you throughout this process. So thanks.
Thank you, Ivy. Mary?
Yeah, I just want to thank you, Nancy, of course. I think you've done a fabulous job. And on behalf of myself and my two daughters who are going to be in the Alaska school system for another decade, I want to thank you all for really putting your heart and soul into this, because I think we're on the right course, and I appreciate it.
Great. Right, thank you, Mary. Penny?
Yes, I want to thank everybody, too. I actually don't usually like these type of venues because they're so confusing. Nancy, you have run an amazing set of conferences, and Jerry, thank you for your input. And I just want to say I am so impressed with the many voices that came to this table and the insight and the ideas that came out, because I think everybody's done a wonderful job. I am so impressed with this committee. If another committee comes up, I want to work with these people. So thank you, everybody. And I look forward to seeing anybody who's up there on the 4th. So, and those of you who aren't, I really appreciate the work. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And then Jerry, we'll close with any comments that you might have.
Thank you, Nancy. Well, Nancy, I think you did a truly outstanding job. The challenging material to work with, challenging format to work with. And for committee members, I your talents are just incredible, and your commitment to this, your hard work are very impressive. And You know, I often think to myself that Alaska couldn't afford to hire the type of talent that it has and its wonderful volunteers. And I think this committee truly exemplifies that statement. So I'm very thankful for your work. I'm very excited to see these recommendations and this rationale go forward to the State Board of Education. And I really believe we have the ideas that can be used in a way that is transformational for every student every day. So thank you all very much.
All right, thank you, Jerry. All right, with that then, unless anyone has other comments, anyone have any other comments right now? Okay, then with that, we will go ahead and adjourn the meeting. And I'm noticing that we're an hour early. So good job, guys. Please look for an email from me. I'll try to get it out by tomorrow, certainly by Thursday. If you can have any comments, get them back to me by Saturday, and then I'll put the final slides together for the presentation. I want to thank Mandy and Mary once again for being willing to be our spokespersons. And for those of you who are attending October 4th, I'll see you in Anchorage. Thanks so much, guys. Bye-bye.